Welcome to worship at First Evangelical Lutheran Church in Poughkeepsie, New York, on this 10th of May, the fifth Sunday of Easter, which is also Mother's Day. Let us pray. Mothering God, who sits up all night with us when we are heartsick, who comforts us when we fall down, who never gives up on us when we stray, who, knowing our shortcomings, still forgives us and loves us unconditionally to the end. Help us to actually be that kind of mother, father, friend, soulmate, and follower of Jesus, today and in all the days left to us on this earth. Amen. After my parents died, I spent some time sorting through boxes that had been stored away in their apartment in Omaha, and I came upon a box within a box that had been thoroughly sealed up with duct tape, which was my father's clear signature. He was the duct tape king, and like those Apollo 13 heroes, couldn't bear not to use duct tape to rig all manner of rescues for broken household items. And that was his signature, his duct tape fixes. So they weren't pretty, but they worked. Anyway, I smiled in anticipation of what I'd find inside that box within a box when I finally cut through all the duct tape. And it was also labeled in his distinctive handwriting with my name. I could tell from the box that it had been packed up in Hong Kong and kept all these years for me to find someday. So I wondered what treasures I would find in there. A cross, maybe, that he'd worn on his preaching gown? An old family Bible? Maybe some journals I didn't know he ever kept? An unpublished manuscript? In our family, my father had the mothering ways. My mother was the strict disciplinarian. He was the keeper of family treasures. He was the sentimental one. She was the sorter and the thrower, the pragmatist, the one who was the quickest to shake the dust off of her feet and point in a new direction without ever looking back. He, on the other hand, was the keeper of family stories, the one who was the first to hug us, the glue that held us together as a family. So I carefully cut open the box, removing the lid, and there they were, my childhood collection of rocks and stones gathered from wherever we had lived, wherever we had traveled, until I went off to college in 1970. I instantly flashed back to times we had walked a beach or through a field discovering rocks or stones together and shoving them into our pockets. He would tell me what he knew about how stones had been formed because he loved nature and he loved science, and ultimately he loved God and marveled over the genius and the beauty of the ecosystems that God created for us as stewards of all creation. He explained to me how over millions of years stones were formed through a combination of heat and pressure. How as the earth's crust began to grow and erode, it pushed minerals up from its core, forming massive rock deposits. He told me about the symbolism of rocks and stones, how they stood for endurance, stability, strength, and permanence. When I found interesting little stones, I would polish them by hand and turn them into pendants that I liked to give away as gifts. And Dad then talked about how Jesus gave the fisherman Simon a new name, Petros, or Peter, meaning rock. Simon, you are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church. You know, Jesus calls Peter the rock because he is the first to confess Jesus is Christ and eventually would be the first to take the good news out to all the world, to the Gentiles. But he's only a rock because Jesus the Christ chooses Peter through whom to build community in Christ, the household of God, a spiritual home, in other words, the church. Not because Peter is inherently rock on his own merits, mind you. I've always loved this passage from our second reading from 1 Peter 2. This morning, we get to hear it again because the language speaks of Jesus as a living stone. And that calls those of us who follow Jesus to be like him, living stones. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I love that passage. Peter isn't the cornerstone of this spiritual house that is being built, but rather the cornerstone is Jesus, the Christ. The stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner. So Jesus is the living stone. Now we have to stretch spiritually, don't we, to wrap our heads around what that means? What it means to be called into service as living stones created in God's image? We know what stones are like. They last a long time. They're strong and permanent, unique, each one of them, but also ordinary and readily accessible. It doesn't cost anything to pick up rocks and stones and collect them. We can find them just about anywhere. Now, if we add living to that image of something strong and permanent and unique and also ordinary, we sense an infusion of creativity, flexibility, resilience, nurture and growth, empowerment. And that would be a pretty accurate reflection of who Jesus was in the world during the years of Jesus' ministry. Strong, reliable, accessible, and constant, who entered into the ordinary lives of people and met them where they were in their life and faith journeys. Jesus was strong like rock and stone, unbending to the ways of the world, the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, the injustice of all oppressors of those most vulnerable in society. Jesus was never afraid to speak truth to power. But Jesus was also the first to empower others, to demonstrate flexibility and resilience and creativity, to nurture growth rather than to judge or berate those who didn't measure up. Scripture warns against those who harbor hearts of stone, after all. Jesus met people where they were in their walks of faith. Like the rich young man who couldn't quite let go of his worldly possessions. The humiliated, defeated disciples who had abandoned Jesus and gone back to fishing for fish after the crucifixion. They couldn't even get the fishing for fish part right anymore. If we are called to be living stones, what does this mean for us today in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic? I think we're finding this out little by little. Just a year ago, we, the family of Christ at First Lutheran in Poughkeepsie, were worrying about the future of our congregation because the brick walls of our sanctuary were giving way. We wondered, in fact, if it would be possible to continue worshiping in our beloved sacred space. We couldn't imagine not worshiping there. We worried that we would not be able to continue as a congregation, at least not within the footprints of our physical foundation on the corner of Mill and Catherine Streets. And then our hero, Bill Rohde, found us an affordable solution. And we leapt with joy and quickly got the work done to secure the safety of our church building. And life happily went on as it had for over 160 years at First Lutheran until, that is, we all got slammed with the coronavirus and the doors of our church got shuttered. The last word from our bishop is that the doors are probably going to stay closed for a long while yet before a very measured and slow phase-in process will begin, with churches being among the last to be approved for reopening by our civic authorities. But what we have been learning in a whole new way these past 2 months is what it means to be living stones. For centuries, the Temple of Jerusalem was thought to be the site of God's presence, the only place where spiritual sacrifices could be made. Without the temple, where could God be accessed after all? Maybe current circumstances have taught us that the family of God known as First Lutheran is not dependent upon the bricks and mortar on the corner of Mill and Catherine Streets in order to be church. Every day of every week since our doors were closed by the pandemic, the life of our community of faith has moved forward. We pivoted quickly from in-person worship to virtual worship by working together. And on some Sundays, believe it or not, the numbers of people who are worshiping with us has tripled as a result. Just think about that. Like living stones, the strength and resilience of our witness in the faith has spread out, stretched farther. Little shoots and buds bursting with new ideas for how to be in community in Christ together, and also how to enhance our outreach and service. I've been citing all kinds of examples over the course of the past few weeks in my sermons, from Diane making masks to delivering groceries for St. Paul's food pantry, from shepherding each other to contributing as lectors and worship assistants in this new virtual worship world of ours, through encouraging each other during Zoom pub nights or our virtual worship fellowship breakfasts. I'm not sure that I have ever experienced over the course of these past 8 years as your pastor as spirited and spiritually healthy a church council meeting as I did this past Tuesday evening. We gathered by Zoom. We checked the pulse of our mission mandate to do the administrative holy work of managing our resources and checking in on the well-being of our sisters and brothers in Christ. We were positively straining forward with new ideas, not lamenting what had been lost. Now, there were 12 living stones, if ever I saw any, our council members. I was so incredibly moved and encouraged by the living faith of each of those members that was embodied in our discussions last Tuesday evening. It was really wonderful. So today is also Mother's Day. What a time in history to be a mother or a father. I marvel at those in our congregation who are juggling work and parenting from home and checking in with Becky, mother of 3 growing boys. I learned that Becky and Jim are doing their very best to keep constructively busy with their boys, playing lots of board games, riding bikes, watching movies, enjoying the outside, planting flowers together, building a fire pit, intentionally enjoying their time together as a family. This is another vivid picture of living stones in action. And I've been thinking about how effective mothers, and all those with mothering ways in the very best senses of that image, are a lot like living stones. Strong, resilient, providing an enduring example of stability, strength, and permanence. And how mothers who mother in the image of God's unconditional love as enfleshed by Jesus' example in the world, creatively nurture in their offspring the same qualities in faith and life. Which makes me think of the influence of Elaine on Robin and Robin on Will and their respective witnesses as living stones in our midst. But instead of having me talk about them, let's hear instead on this Mother's Day from Robin. She put it this way. I have been blessed to be a mom for the past 25 years to a remarkable young man. I can honestly say that he is the best part of my life and a constant source of pride and joy. His capacity for empathy and compassion is humbling. His humor and sense of fun has helped get us through the toughest of times. In his job, he's considered essential personnel, so he has to go to work every day and make sure that things run smoothly there. I know that he is careful. I know that precautions are taken. But the mother in me worries all the time. When this all began, he was concerned about seeing any of the family. My mom had just had surgery, and both my parents are older. Are you guys really older? Elaine and Ernie? Could have fooled me. and he couldn't bear to be the one who brought it to us. That would be devastating. He and I talked about it a lot. We put things in perspective for each other. I think that's the most important thing for both of us. We have always been the balance for each other. This being a mom thing has also given me an insight into my mom, says Robin. The phrase, "you never stop being a mom," had never resonated so strongly with me. I know she worries about him and all of us, and there is no greater honor than being a mom. I can think of nothing in this world that matters more. Well, that's what Robin had to say. But then I began to think about the larger picture as we mark what Mother's Day means to us all, as people of faith living through the epicenter of the coronavirus. I want to turn then to Carol Reichert, a cradle member of First Lutheran, former Peace Corps volunteer in India, talented teacher, and deeply respected former president of our church council. As she reflects on the significance of this day, remembering the wider context. So let's now look at that video of Carol's reflections.
This year, I've been thinking a little bit differently about Mother's Day. Rather than thinking just about, the usual characteristics and traits of mothers that we all love and honor, things like kindness and caring, understanding, devotion, sacrifice, unconditional love. Maybe because of the pandemic and the lockdown, I'm thinking more about the strength and courage of mothers. I'm thinking about Mother Nature. Just think, in the 7 weeks that we've been in lockdown, Mother Nature has taken a deep breath, and she's made some remarkable strides in healing the mess that we've all made of our planet. And I think she's telling us that if we give her half a chance, she can help us to save our planet. I'm thinking also about the heads of countries who are women, most of whom are also mothers. I'm thinking about the leaders in Germany and Iceland and New Zealand, Taiwan, Singapore. These are all women, and they've all been rather remarkable in terms of what they've been able to do in reference to COVID-19 and stopping the spread and flattening the curve. They've shown great leadership, great courage, great skill and determination. And I'm also thinking about the women who are working in healthcare, the nurses, the doctors, the technicians, the people working in cafeterias, the cleaning staff in nursing homes and hospitals. They're on the front lines working with their male colleagues to battle this silent killer of COVID-19. And then after their work, they go home to take care of their families, their children. That takes courage, and that takes strength. So this year, when we salute our mothers, let's not forget their courage and strength, because they bring that courage and strength not only on behalf of their own families, but they're bringing it on behalf of our communities, the nations of the world. Happy Mother's Day.
We thank Carol for those reflections, which were wise as always and well said. And now may the living foundation stone, Jesus Christ, continue to inspire us in our walks of faith, as mothers and fathers, as families together in Christ Jesus, as those who seek to be living stones in a suffering world. And may God's Holy Spirit continue to equip all of us to be open to all the ways still available to us to be built into a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Yes, even now, even in the midst of the coronavirus. Amen.